a little bit of an aside. This is maybe too detailed, so it might put this section behind the paywall, but yeah. There was a guy, Libertarian Socialist Rants, that was an early YouTube channel that was just like a guy talking and like a black screen with like maybe some text on it.
Yeah.
But there was this kind of first mover's advantage on YouTube where because they were in so, so early, yeah. this was like, I don't know, like 2000 or 2005 or something, that has these cascading influences. I'm working on right now, a good friend of mine, we're behind the paywall so I can mention his name, Matt Gertzen. He's a PhD candidate at Harvard in the history of cybersecurity. He used to work at a think tank and did the archival research with all the citations of when American Third Positionist Movement and Stormfront coordinated to influence 4chan right around when Pol started.
Yeah.
And so we're going back to like 2011-12 here, at which point those just extrapolate out that curve for several years. This first mover advantage becomes really, really big. It's like buying crypto when it was like a dollar, And then many years later, these are the knock-on effects of, these people are, they've programmed the belief system and values of like everyone on this platform. So there is an origin for it in some cases.
I don't know
cases.
That history, but I'm very interested in it because I feel like
He wrote it. So I'm just working with him to make it publishable, but he was the researcher.
I experienced the history because in high school, I was, so in high school,
you were a 4chan.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about this.
I wouldn't say that I was a 4chaner, but I did have a kind of like morbid curiosity. Mm-hmm. I used to go on Stormfront, not because I was a Nazi, but because I wanted to gawk at this.
Like rotten.com.
Malevolent circus.
Yeah,
like rotten.com, exactly. Mm-hmm. And like for 4chan, mostly the same reason. So I was like very well acquainted with like what far right racist talking points are and how they communicate and their mm-hmm. style of like semi-irony and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I recognized it on 4chan. And then that's why I was so fucking concerned. Wait, can I say fuck? That's why I was so concerned when I saw it on...
You can say fuck.
Okay,
that's fine.
Good. That's why I was so concerned when I saw it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And on Twitter, it was like this. I was like, I've seen this come from Stormfront, and now it's on YouTube, and most people don't know that, but I recognize it, and so I know how sinister it is, and now this is just how White House staffers talk.
Right.
But I mean, it does make sense to me that behind the scenes it was like direct networks to influence. I mean, he must have been in his late 80s. I believe he had like actually like met Wittgenstein once at Cambridge.
Holy shit.
Like he was that old.
Wow. So he just had to like, he had to go to the nursing home. And
but like I had taken his class,
yeah.
you know, as an undergrad. And then I had a master's in philosophy by that point. And then he got sick and they were like, can you teach this class this semester and we'll give you $6,000. And I was like, $6,000?
Yeah.
That was a ton of money to me at the time because I was an Uber driver. Right. So.
I did read that. I was going to ask you if that was real.
Yeah, it's real. Yeah. That was, I mean, it wasn't a long time, but for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And I was still doing it when I started the YouTube channel.
Incredible.
And teaching piano lessons.
Yeah, there was a story in the Times about an NYU professor who was also an Uber driver.
Yep.
And I think someone I know at the new school got $3,500 for an adjunct class. Like, no travel budget, no nothing, but like,
ridiculous.
How do you fucking survive on this? Like,
I mean, most of the people I knew who were like, professors my age are living in poverty.
Yeah. Like, And before they might have had like faculty housing or like that kind of stuff. To try and convince someone who thinks of the world differently that is in and of itself a kind of, non-productive
activity. I used to get a ton of criticism along exactly those lines, that like to even talk to people who are fascists,
right,
broadly construed, is like this betrayal and it's always useless and it's, and you can't reason them out of it. And like, I understand where that comes from, I think, in some ways, like, and sometimes I'm actually more sympathetic to that now than I was when I started because... Mm-hmm. In part because I have like this sense of futility that's the result of just having done this for so long.
Yeah.
But
some of these people got fascists too that were not before.
That's true. Yeah. But I also do think that the people who are completely allergic to having any kind of conversation with someone who's outside of the group, that's like a kind of, that's like a cult mindset. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, be able to talk to normal people.
Right.
Like, I think being, you know, I think there's a difference between someone who's like Nick Fuentes and someone who's a normal person.
Yeah. 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 He's a whole other fucking, it is crazy because forgive me if I've said this like a million times, but I did all this Gen Z social media research before, but like all the things that I was looking at like 10 years ago that were a niche speculative trend that might get big in the future, that's now just like mainstream politics and like normal.
It's
and
completely normal.
Nick Fuentes was number one on Spotify.
The most, like, that is wild.
That is a lot of
because
people.
Because it's actually like in some ways like the worst case scenario you could have possibly imagined in 2016, right? Like the most extremist, far right, out there lunatic fringe is in the mainstream. Yeah.
Although there were people in 2016 that were like, it's going to be a whites only ethno state. Like we're
incrementally. You're right. That it's not that. It's not a whites only ethno state.
But well, it's certainly far worse than I thought he would be in Trump too.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually, by Trump, I'm not surprised by Trump too, actually. I thought it would be really bad. I think that's one reason why I had this experience of being so frustrated by how, like, not seriously I felt people were taking the threat of Trump too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I took Project 2525 very seriously. And
I'm in a reading group where I mean, it was immense, but we read through large parts of it.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself at that time, it was like, this is like crank stuff. They're like overshooting it. They don't actually plan to implement this. And then it does seem like they took a lot of, instructions from that playbook. So.
Yeah. Do you want to go here? I'm willing to go here. I think that's.
Let's speak unfiltered. I'll put it behind the paywall if it's too sensitive. Yeah.
But I feel that like. Some of the anti-Zionist discourse has gotten to a place that I find to be similar to abolish the police.
Hi, everybody. This is Joshua Citarella. What you just heard is an excerpt from this week's bonus episode. If you want to hear more and get access to the full catalog for Doomscroll and other podcasts, you can support the show on Patreon or Substack, where I'm putting out new episodes every week. This is an independent show. I don't do any advertising. So your support is really what keeps this project going. Thanks for listening. See you again soon.